We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for coming out this evening and being a part of this service for Chiago. As we receive our offering, I just want to remind you that this is a very special time in the body life of our church. It is not very often that a church gets the honor and the privilege of doing two things. One is having an individual sent out from their church in the sense of that we're sending out Chiago from our church with our full backing, with increased financial support through our missions giving, and then also tonight having all four pastors setting aside this man to go into full-time ministry. In just a little while, we're all going to lay hands on him and pray over him and set him apart, ordain him into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told our guys earlier when we first had this moment as we were thinking and praying about Chiago and what we could do, I said, you know, there's two things that you get to do as a pastor that are just, they're the most precious things that you can do. Number one is you get to marry somebody, all right? And you get to bring a husband and wife become one. You know, that's a special thing. You get to do that. I said the other thing is you get the opportunity to ordain a man into ministry. I don't know that there, to me, if there's a higher thing than that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Yes, I get to preach the gospel every week and lead a church, but to say that a man has the call of God on his life and then to publicly set him apart into the ministry full-time, to me, as the senior shepherd here, it is one of the highest honors that I get to do. And all of the men tonight take this very, very seriously. And as a church, it is a privilege to have a man in our midst who has a track record now of being faithful and is saying, yes, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to do this. We've heard his testimony. We just spent an hour and a half grilling him. No, we didn't really. If you smell smoke, it's not that. Somebody burned the cookies. We actually did spend about an hour and a half with him this evening, though, talking to him, sharing with him, relaying to him, allowing him to ask questions, us asking questions, us sharing with him. And he once again reaffirmed his call, reaffirmed his testimony, reaffirmed his walk, and the burden in his heart and what God is calling him to do. And we as pastors stand very happy and pleased and confident in this fact that God has a call on his life into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what is going to happen now is each pastor, with a small break in between two pastors, are going to come and bring each a challenge to Chiago. And we're going to be speaking to you directly. And I know we kind of warned you about this. And as much as this is a special night for Chiago, this is also a special night for Erica. And she is here tonight with their little precious girl in the back. So can we just welcome them? We're glad you're here. It's very easy, Erica, to think that everything is just about him tonight. But as I told him earlier, if it wasn't for Angela, I wouldn't be standing here. And so as much as this is a night for him, this is also a special night for you. And we want you to be a part of this as well, as much as you can with the baby, as much as she will cooperate. And so I've asked each man to come and bring a challenge, a time of sharing and encouragement to Chiago. We're going to start with Pastor Chad. When he's done, Pastor Denver will then go. When Pastor Denver is finished, we'll have a song for transition. When that song is finished, Pastor Michael will go. I will then come and close with a final challenge. Over here, we have a special rug that I'm going to talk about that I keep in my office. I'll explain that and a few other special things that we're going to do. So, Pastor Chad, would you come?
What I'm going to share tonight is going to be a lot different, a little bit, not how much. I don't know exactly what every pastor's going to say, but I want to read tonight I don't know if it's called a poem, a piece that is called The High Calling. So I need to turn the pulpit over here. No, I'm just kidding. This is something that, I don't know if it was 2011 or 2012, Pastor Todd was doing a series in our church, and he was doing a series on leadership, speaking to about deacons and various things, pastors. And I remember I was sitting. How many of you are with us in the old building? I just need to get it clear. I was sitting in the back right. If you're facing the stage, back right, maybe three or four rows from the back. Why, I don't know, but that's where I was at that night. And he began to read this, and I I was trying to keep myself composed with everyone around me, but I was struggling. This broke me. And I remember going to the altar that night, just not that I was reaffirming anything, but it was resonating in me. When God has put a call in your life to pastor, he's put a call in your life to preach, to be in ministry, these things that are written in here, I think, speak to that. So, Chagi, what I'd like to do tonight is I'm essentially going to read it, and I hope to be able to make it through it. And when I'm done, I'd like to present this to you as our gift to you. Hope that you will hang it somewhere, put it somewhere as a reminder, and it is called The High Calling. If God has called you to be really like Jesus in all your spirit, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility, and put on you such demands of obedience that he will not allow you to follow other Christians, and in many ways he will seem to let other good people do things which he will not let you do. Other Christians and ministers who seem very religious and useful may push themselves, pull wires, and work schemes to carry out their plans, but you cannot do it. And if you attempt it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their work, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin it, he will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money or having a legacy left to them or in having luxuries, but God may supply you daily because he wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is a helpless dependence on him. That he may have the privilege of providing your needs day by day out of the unseen treasury. The Lord may let others be honored and put forward and keep you hid away in obscurity because he wants to produce some choice, fragrant fruit for his coming glory, which can only be produced in the shade. God will let others be great but keep you small. He will let others do a work for him and get the credit for it, but he will make you work and toil on without knowing how much you are doing, and then to make your work still more precious. He will let others get the credit for the work which you have done, and this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you with a jealous love and will rebuke you for little words and feelings or for wasting your time, which other Christians never seem distressed over. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has the right to do as he pleases with his own, and he will not explain to you 1,000 things which may puzzle your reason in his dealings with you. God will take you at your word, and if you absolutely sell yourself to be his slave, he will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot do or say. Settle it forever that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, and that he is to have the privilege of tying your tongue, and chaining your hand, or closing your eyes in ways that others are not dealt with. Now, when you are so possessed with the living God that you are, in your secret heart, pleased and delighted over this peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, you will have found the vestibule of heaven. And there's a four-word statement at the end that has never left me, and it says this: others may, you cannot. And Chiago, as I said to you earlier in the office, there are going to be days and moments and times in your life, and I cannot predict for you what the future will hold for your ministries and what places God will take you, but I almost assure you there's going to be days, moments, and seasons in your life where you will doubt, and you will feel like things are unfair, and that, as it said here, others seemingly can do things that you cannot, and you may even question why, and God may never, ever give you the answer for that. But if you will be committed and persuaded that his calling on your life is enough, that he is enough, You don't have to worry about how it's going to unfold. You just need to stay faithful to him in your walk. Stay faithful to loving your wife and your family and leading them. And the journey that he will take you on will be ever surprising. You will always look back and find yourself saying, I never would have thought that I would be here doing what I'm doing, but somehow, some way, but only if you stay faithful to him and only if you stay faithful to his call in your life. So I want to leave you with this gift. We as a church want to leave you with this gift and hope that you will treasure it, read it, and follow its admonition to you, but also charge to you to continue to the call that God's given you. I'm going to ask Pastor Denver to come at this time, and as he does, I'm going to present you with this gift from us as a church to you.
If you have a Bible and you want to turn to Philippians 1:6, that's where we're going to be for a moment. I have a verse to share. Philippians 1:6, and here's what it says. Maybe you're very familiar with this. Being confident of this very thing, that he, which began a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read it again. Being confident of this very thing, that he, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is certainly true for all believers. And all God's people said, amen. Yeah, it's true for all of us. But today, as we celebrate God's specific calling on you, my brother, you know, and you're called a Christian, full-time Christian service in whatever capacity God is going to use you. And you have a plan, and God is, and I'm glad that part of God's plan was to put him in a holding pattern and keep him here for a little bit. You're a blessing to us. You've been a blessing to me. You've been an encouragement, and your unique testimony. One of the questions we asked him was, you know, what tell us about your call to ministry and how God called you to pursue this full-time, all-in calling. And it was unique. It was great. It was encouraging. Thank you for sharing that. But the thing we need to know as a minister is it's good to know and to understand that calling, because it will sustain us in difficult days. I think this is probably true for Christians in general, but for pastors, I don't think there's not a time in our life or in a ministry where we just wanted, if there's anything else we would do, we would just want to go do that. You know, it's difficult. The difficult days, like, man, God, if there's anything I can do, if there's any other thing I can do other than that, I mean, God, but we can't. We can't escape the calling because of our love for God and this thing that God's called us to. And so, you know, with that said, someone has wisely said this, and this is good, and I think it goes right along with what Chad said in a unique way, but I found this recently, and it really stuck out, and I want you to hear the words. I can send it to you if you want it for sure, but going full-time in Christian work does not put one into some special category apart from other believers, nor does it necessarily imply that one has a greater devotion to Christ or greater gifts or a greater knowledge than other Christians. The Word of God knows nothing of clergy-laity distinctions, nor does it present different standards for Christians doing different things. It doesn't do that. Whether a school teacher or a mechanic, an executive or a nurse or a common worker, every Christian ought to serve the Lord faithfully to his or her full capacity. Do you agree with that? We're all called to do this. The call to present our bodies is a living sacrifice to God, that we might prove his good and acceptable and perfect will, found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It goes out to everyone. Further, one called to full-time service does not automatically become more faithful or have fewer trials. That's not the case. Or fewer temptations than other people. That's not true at all. In fact, he or she may have more trials. Are you encouraged? However, God's grace is sufficient to meet the needs of those who are serving faithfully in his will. Certainly, Pastor talked about a bullseye that is on those called to full-time Christian service. And we can all understand and know the need for prayer, because up here we have a pastor we love and he provides leadership. And if the Satan can get him to fall, how great would that fall be? And for you to understand that you're taking up that mantle and that you will be an object of the enemy's affection. And if I look back at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hold on to that. You know, I want you to understand ministry for what it really is. So let me share with you a powerful moment in my own life. And I may have shared this with the church, so you may have to bear with me again if you've heard this. But I'll never forget being in seminary or Bible college and just soaking it up. And I just love that we had chapel 3 days a week. Not exactly my favorite thing when I'm working and going to Bible college. But I did love chapel, and it was my first year. And I never forget, this older minister could barely get up the steps. And he walked up and he said, "I can summarize the call to the Christian service in one word." And then he said, "And it's true for every Christian." And he said, "The word is," and of course I'm on the edge of my seat, "this is it, the one word." We all like to nail it down, don't we? He said, "Discipline." Discipline. That rocked me, because discipline, I mean, I learned discipline in the military. I understood discipline. I submitted to discipline. But discipline's like that word, patience. It's difficult, right? You know, we strive to be patient. We don't want to pray for patience, and we don't want to pray for discipline. My goodness. But that's what the call is. It's true for all of us, but it's certainly a call for us. But Zig Ziglar says this, and I think he puts it well. It was character that got us out of bed. Commitment that moved us into action. But he said this, and he finishes it well. And discipline that enabled us to follow through. And no matter where you find yourselves in the days ahead, in your walk with Christ, and in your ministering to the body of Christ, wherever it leads you in your full-time calling, always make discipline a priority. Because there's days we don't feel like reading our Bibles, and there's days that we don't feel like fighting the enemy, and there's days that we just don't want to have to face difficult people, let alone ourselves in the mirror. But the discipline to understand that God is faithful, and if he began a good work in you, he will complete it. He will. Even when we don't feel it or sense it or see it, we're disciplined enough to know God will do it. Because he's faithful, is he not? You know, I have to do this. I have to take you to this point. That is this. No matter where you find yourself again, be disciplined to always leave a wake behind you. And that wake is a wake of disciples. Because Jesus says in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Go therefore and teach all nations." Many of you know the verse, don't you? "Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." What's he say next? "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And there's one command there. And you've been through the discipleship training class, so you know. There's one command there. And that one command is not, you can't say, well, it's go or it's teach. No, there's one command. The one command is make disciples. That's what we're called to do. And that's what I want to remind you of tonight. That in your discipline, stay faithful to walk with God, read his word, and be disciplined to pour into people. Because at the end of the day, all that matters is the people that you've affected and the people you've touched. And when you stand before God, and this is true for all of us, the one thing that we'll give an account for, the one thing that we're to use our gifts for is for the people. Hey, ministry is an adventure. I think our pastors would say that. You never know where you're going to end up. You never know what lies on the horizon. You just, man, it's day by day. You never thought you'd be here, but here you are for an extended period of time, and it's culminating in this, and you can look back and say, okay, God, you were faithful, but you've been faithful even here to pour into people. And then when God finally takes you, and on the horizon, you can see there is a day fast approaching where I'm actually going to be able to leave and go do the thing that I believe God's laid on my heart and my affections on that. But when you leave behind the people who love you, who you've poured into, who will look at you and say, "We'll pray for that guy." And you may go and you may be surprised where God will take you in 5 years or 5 months. But when you look back, say, "You know what? I was only there for this amount of time or this, but I poured into people." That's really what matters. And that's what I want to charge you. Make disciples. The Great Commission was given to individuals until, and John Piper says this, the Great Commission was given to individuals until Christ comes again, or until the commission is fulfilled, the commission stands. That's the one thing we can all do. And it will take incredible discipline for you to fulfill your calling, especially when you think about the statistics. Case in point, Less than 5% of Christians will share their faith, and only 2% even know what the Great Commission is calling them to do. That's kind of the field you're entering into. And as you press forward into the mission field, as you press forward into these things and realize, listen, it doesn't matter about statistics, but I understand my calling. And so as our worship team makes their way back up, I'll read to you again Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so my brother, pursue the disciplined life. It's not an easy life, but it is a life that produces joy. Use all your resources, use all your gifts, use all your talents and whatever you do to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to pour into people. And speaking from experience, I can tell you this, ministry is an adventure, and it is awesome, and it is fun. And despite all the things, you know, we need to be weary of, it is the greatest thing in the world. It is. And I you don't look back and regret it. You look back and you think, man, what an adventure. I never in a million years, right? The Army's got nothing on me in their slogan, okay? It is a tremendous thing. And I can't think of anything more exciting and scary and yet rewarding. And so, brother, I'm proud of you. We're proud of you. And as a church, we're definitely going to be praying for you. Can't wait to see what God does.
As you find your seat, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Ezra. And I'll give you a minute, potentially, to look up that book of Ezra. You know, the book of Ezra, for sake of time, I'm just going to dive in. There's a lot of personal remarks already been said, and we met with him beforehand, as we've already noted. And as we continue the charge to him tonight, though, right out of the book of Ezra is something that really has meant a lot to me these last couple of years. The book of Ezra deals with the rebuilding of the temple after the destruction around 530 BC. And first is the rebuilding of the temple, and then is the well-known rebuilding of the wall. And I don't know why it seems like the rebuilding of the wall seems to get more recognition than the rebuilding of the temple. But it happens, and we often put a lot of emphasis on Nehemiah, but there's so much richness in the book of Ezra. There's so much depth that's here that certainly wouldn't be able to scratch the surface of. But we're going to be in Ezra chapter number 7. I want to read a verse to you here in just a moment. But for whatever reason, I mean, this immense treasure just seems to be something that is put on the snooze, put on the back burner, just seemed to not be as emphasized as much. And I've often wondered why that's the case. Why is this something that seemingly of so much significance really isn't talked about all that much? Why do we spend so much time dealing with the walls and ignoring the temple? And then it struck me that that really isn't anything new, is it? That the inner is of much more significance than the outer shell, but yet that too is where I contend to spend the majority of my time. And if you're honest with yourself, where you can spend the majority of your time on the outside and not minding the significant thing that matters on the inside. I want you to notice with me in Ezra 7:10 where Ezra spent his time. I want you to look at this verse that says, one little verse, that for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. This here, these things that he had purposed in his heart to do, just jumped off the page at me just a couple of years ago. These things that Ezra had purposed in his heart to do. Who was this guy? This Ezra was a phenomenal pulpiteer, a builder, a priest, a great leader. And, you know, if you take notice of Ezra and you read through it, it took years, 57 years for them to build this temple. Many different years they took. And at a young age, Ezra studied and learned and became a scholar. Ezra took time to prepare himself, and he says here, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And at a very young age, even being held captive by the Persian army, being in this land of exile, because of his work ethic, much like Daniel was recognized because of his goodness in the Babylon, Ezra was recognized by King Xerxes, and his passion and his vision was for God and for God's people, even when he was in a place that was less than desirable, Even when he was in a place that he didn't want to be, he knew that there was nothing more important than taking care of himself spiritually. And I've simply titled this little challenge here that being comes before doing. Being comes before doing. And this certainly pertains to Chiago and the challenge I have for you, but it pertains to all of us, church. That being and having a right relationship with the Lord and making sure we're in tune with him is of far more significance and far more importance than anything that we do. You know, Chiago, people aren't always going to be able to make sense of you. We don't make sense of you sometimes. We have, well, what did you say? I can't. People aren't always going to be able to do that. They don't always make sense of me sometimes. That probably surprises you. It happens. But you know, no one should be able to question your character, that you're a man of integrity, that you're a man of discipline, a man that loves the Lord, a man that serves him. And they may not understand all the things that what you do, but they'll say, I know the God that he stands for. And he's sincere in what he's doing. You know, someone once told me that trust is earned and not given. And it's loaned. It's never owned. It's on loan. And you are able to be brought into ministry just as I was and all of us were, riding upon the shoulders of people who came before us that were faithful. And we need to be found in this moment being faithful as a result of many years of consistently doing the right thing. It's a phenomenal story. The king trusted Ezra. Ezra's like, what do you need, Ezra? And he gives him, listen to this. You can go look all this up. It's fascinating. Nearly 4 tons of gold and 24 tons of silver supplied by the Persian king. And Ezra used these materials to restore what was once Solomon's temple. Why? Because Ezra diligently prepared and studied and connected and had a walk with God. He made the most of the day that was in front of him. Look at the verse. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. Being before doing. You know, lots can be said of preparing for the future and working ahead. And God's had you in a holding pattern now, allowing you to be prepared for the work ahead. You will do a lot of ministry up ahead. But staying right with the Lord and being right with the Lord is far more important than anything you'll ever do for him. I was in a minor traffic accident on Tuesday morning because I'm an idiot. But that aside, I am thankful. I'm thankful that there are safety protocols in the vehicle and people who worked behind the scenes to make sure that when an accident occurred, that the vehicle would act in such a way that it does. People have spent years so that my sons and I could walk away unharmed. And Chiago, in ministry, people are going to come to you when they are most vulnerable, when they have been ignorant, when they have made a bad decision. They're going to come to you in that moment when accidents and sinful consequences have ravished their lives. And they're going to need to depend upon somebody who knows that book. They're going to need to depend upon somebody that can stand between the living and the dead and fill in the gap. And there's not going to be a pastor you can call. You're the man. There's not going to be a counselor you can reach out to because you're that man in that moment. And the day will come very soon. And this is why being comes before doing. You know, just because someone can stand in that role doesn't mean they should stand in that role. You're going to be in that moment, and you'll be the one, that someone one day that reaches out to you like a life raft. And they're going to hope that you have been prepared for such a time as this, because you're going to be their last hope. And it's in that moment you'll be so thankful that I've chosen to be a man of character and a man of discipline and a man that studied when no one was looking. A man that prayed when no one else was paying attention, and I spent the time in God's word to be able to be God's man in the moment that he was needed. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Notice the priorities of his leadership. I want you to notice that he had prepared his heart. He learned it. Let me give you three things. He learned God's word. He spent time studying and discovering the truth for himself. D.L. Moody once said that the tragedy of his day is that people trafficked in unlearned truth. And it's certainly the same tragedy that we have in our day, that we traffic in truth that we don't really understand and we haven't taken time to really get to the bottom of. The inside has to be right before the outside, the exterior. You have to have truth imported to you before you can impart it to others. You can't give something that you don't have. And Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. But he didn't just prepare it. He didn't just learn it. The scripture says, and to do it. You see, he didn't just learn it. I want you to notice that he lived it. And it was obvious to the king in a foreign land that he was a man that lived the very truth that he proclaimed. Ezra practiced and applied what he had learned. And in the building of the temple, as you read, he faced adversaries. There are people that came to him, and they came to him with false assumptions. They came with ulterior motives. And you too are going to have people come at you with ulterior motives and are going to put you in a bad light. And you've got to make sure, am I learning this truth? Am I living in the truth that I am supposed to be exercising? I'm out of time. I love this verse, though. As it's a challenge to me, are you learning daily what you need to learn? Are you learning it? Are you living it? I want you to notice what he did here lastly. He says, in teaching Israel statutes and judgments, he not only learned it, he not only lived it, but he loaned it. And this is your job, to be able to make the truths of God's word transferable to other people, to be able to implant it to other people. Ezra was able to pass on to others what he had embraced. You know, as a minister, there's no shortage of people to tell you how you should spend your time and where your time should be spent. But the greatest thing you can possibly do is to spend time in God's word and to spend time being a man of character, that being is more important than anything I'll ever do. The greatest thing you can possibly do with your time is focus on what Paul called the inner man. Ephesians 3 says, for this cause, as he's speaking to the church of Ephesus, and I leave you with this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, this is his request, to be strengthened with might by the power, or by his spirit, in the inner man. And my prayer for you today is that you'll be strengthened today to live in the truth, to learn the truth, and to loan it to others. Pastor.
Tiago, we spent a great deal of time in our office together talking about what this night was going to look like, sharing with you things that we felt were pertinent to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, you find a clear and concise list of the qualifications of a man who's going into the ministry full time. And I will confess to you that every time I have ever read that list, and I read that to you in my office, that every time I've ever read that, I've often thought, how in the world will I ever live up to that standard? How will I ever be able to do this and pull this off? I want to tell you that it is a daily surrender and a lifelong commitment. Tiago, tonight, as you are coming under the authority of these passages in just a few minutes, you will also be set apart to serve God as a full-time minister, and we will lay hands on you. And the reason we will do that is because it is symbolic, not only from the Old Testament, but also in 1 Timothy 4, where Paul talks about the elders laying hands on those who are being set apart for the ministry of the word. As one author put it, we recognize this individual as one called of God and setting him apart. We acknowledge that he ministers in Christ's name, armed with the word. Before we do that, I have a few things that I want to share with you. And I shared this with you, and I want to share it now publicly. At the end of Deuteronomy, you find out that Moses has died. God buried him. It's a fascinating passage of Scripture. But then you get to the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel." If you drop down in verse 7, he says, "Be strong, be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the left hand nor to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night to observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Tiago, you're up. It's your time. God's called your number. He's rung your bell. He said, "It's time for you to step onto the field to play. There's no going back. Tonight, you step into the field of service full time. There's nothing more serious. The call of God on your life is irrevocable. It is not going to change. Your feelings are going to change, but God's call is not going to change. I'm going to give you 7 things that you need to hang on to tonight. I have 10 minutes to get 7 things out. I doubt very seriously it's going to happen. I've simply titled them, Remember. Remember. I hope you'll write them down. I'll forward the sermon to you when I'm done. Number one, remember this moment. Remember it. I've never forgot my ordination. Every man who met with you tonight will tell you the same thing. They have never forgot their ordination. I say this because tonight, publicly, you are being set apart. It does not mean you are better or smarter or more special than the next person. What this moment means is that you are being set apart, choosing to live your life by a higher standard of Christian service, and that you are willing to hold yourself to that standard and be willing to be held to that standard by other people. Remember this tonight. Look back on it. Cherish it. Don't forget it. Number two, remember your model. Remember your model. Your model of service is Jesus Christ. Pick up a towel, go find some people, and start loving them. The model of service is Jesus. You're going to feel ill-equipped. You're going to feel unprepared. You're going to feel that you cannot achieve this high standard. And here's the thing. I have good news. You can't. But Christ in you can. Amen. If that weren't the case, none of us pastors would have stepped up behind the sacred desk tonight to tell you that. All of us look in the mirror and think, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. I will tell you tonight, he's got the right guy in you because he's called you. He's called you. And faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Remember that your model of service is not the guy who's ahead of you. It's not the guy who's got a better ministry. It's not the guy who's authored a book. It's not me. It's none of these men. Your supreme model in ministry is Jesus Christ. Emulate him. Emulate him. He's your example. Follow in his steps. Number three, remember your mandate. Remember your mandate. You have been called, and God's call in your life is irrevocable. You have been given a mission. You've been given a message. And the reality of your ordination sets in motion something unseen. It's not as if tonight you were suddenly figuring this out. Man, I hope not, all right? It's not as if this is some epiphany to you. The mandate goes from a general commitment, watch this, to a personal command. A general statement to a personal willingness to bring yourself up under the submission of Jesus Christ. And as it says in the high calling, to sell yourself out to be his slave. That's what it means. That's your mandate. Number four, remember your motives. Remember your motives. You will need to be very clear on why you're doing what you're doing. Be very clear. There will be moments when you will be ready to walk away, when you will want to lash out, scream out, and act out. There will be seasons of great discouragement, Tiago, great disappointment. There will be times when people you trusted stabbed you in the back and broke your heart. There will be tears, confusion, and heartache. I could go on, but in these moments, you had better remember your motives, why you're doing what you're doing. You will be misunderstood. You will be mistreated. You will be made fun of. You will be mocked. It goes with the territory. Welcome to ministry. Welcome to ministry. And in these challenging moments, as a minister, remember that you are now entering into what Paul calls the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. The good news, and there is good news. The good news is that Jesus will never leave you. Jesus will never leave you. He will never walk away from you. You will never be on this ministry road alone, which is why I can now say to you, you not only have Jesus by your side, but there's one person who's going to be with you on this journey from tonight and to the very end, and that is your wife, Erica. And that's why I tell you now, number five, remember your marriage. Remember your marriage. I want to remind you that your first responsibility as a minister is to your wife and family and having a healthy marriage. It would be better for your ministry to suffer or stop altogether if your marriage is not wholesome. How you lead your home and your wife and your children is a window into how you're going to lead the ministry that God entrusts you with. I heard about a pastor that came home from work one day, couldn't find his wife, and she was upstairs. She was packing. She was throwing all these clothes into a suitcase. Erica, I want you to hear this. He came upstairs and said, "Honey, what's wrong?" You know men ask stupid questions. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Is something wrong? She said, "Yeah, I've had it. I've had it with you. I've had it with this ministry. I've had it with everything." He said, "Well, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm packing up and I'm leaving. I'm done. I've had it. I'm out of here." He thought for a minute and he walked over to the closet, pulled down a suitcase, started putting clothes in the suitcase. And she said, "What do you think you're doing?" He said, "I'm going with you, honey. I'm going with you." Your wife needs you more than your ministry does. And that little girl making noise back there does too. You know this. Your wife is not perfect. Your children will not be perfect because you are not perfect. This will create some problems. Please remember that you can be a hero in ministry and a zero at home. You can be really great in the pulpit, but be a loser at your house. You need to be the same man in the pulpit and out of the pulpit. The same man in ministry as you are at home playing with your kids and ministering to your wife. Make your family a priority, not an idol. Not an idol. Never allow ministry to become the other woman. Never. Never expect your kids to be super spiritual. Never. And when you mess up, and you will, bro. Amen, Erica? When you mess up, then you just fess up. Just fess up right there. Let your kids see your failings. Be honest and transparent with your wife. Be truthful about your struggles with your family. Your family will always know and see the real you. So don't try and fake them. Don't try and fool them. Remember, your family is your first ministry. Remember your marriage. You're not going to get very far without this woman by your side. Remember your marriage. Number six, remember your mind. Remember your mind. Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We are reminded, Tiago, to guard our hearts and guard our mind. Protect yourself. Please, brother, protect yourself. Please. More men are leaving the ministry tonight than are coming in. Don't forget that. Protect yourself and put people in your life who can help you stay pure. Keep a clean conscience and a short account. The target on your back and on the back of your family just got a little bit bigger tonight. You need other men in your life who, like Moses, when his hands were heavy, can help you bear up under the load and the strain of the unseen pressures of ministry. People who can hold you up, people who can lift you up, and then you need these kind of people, people who can just cheer you up. You need every kind of people in your life. Hold you up, lift you up, cheer you up. Remember your mind. My time is done, and I got one more. Remember the membership of Faith Baptist Church. remember the membership. You should know that we here at our church love you, and we will be praying for you as well as supporting you. We will, as Hudson Taylor once said, hold the ropes while you go down. You are a part of this local assembly and ministry. And you are now being sent out by this church. So, Tiago, when you are lonely, call us. When you feel unloved, call us. When you need a laugh, call Denver. When you're struggling to learn something, call us. When you want to quit, you call us. And when you just need somebody to listen to you, you call us. We're here for you. You cannot do ministry alone. Would you come to the platform at this time? I have several things that I want to explain to the church. First, here on this floor is a carpet that was given to me by Life Action. On it is a white circle. This was done on purpose because the man who came up with this was replicating a man years ago who was praying for revival, and he drew a circle around himself, and he stepped inside the circle, and he said, "Lord, start with me." And he set himself apart, and he consecrated himself. And so, Tiago, tonight I'm going to ask you to step inside the circle in a symbolic way of saying, "I am setting myself apart unto you alone, O Lord." I also borrowed Pastor Chad's prayer towel that I brought back from Israel for him. This is what all of the rabbis would be wearing and be given. I think it's a symbolic thing tonight that we will put this over you as we pray for you tonight. So I'm going to ask all of the pastors to make their way to the platform at this time. Tiago, I'm going to ask if you'll kneel down. Each of us will lay hands on you one at a time. Pastor Michael will start, then Pastor Chad, then Pastor Denver, then myself. We are praying over you tonight, setting you apart and ordaining you into the full-time ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do so with great confidence, with great joy, and with great love for you.
Heavenly Father, it is with great joy and with the utmost humility that we are able to commit Tiago to this, Lord, to your hands, to ministry, to serving, to others. Lord, I pray that he would, in his walk with you, stay pure, in his mind with you, Lord, would stay right. I pray that he would be a diligent servant of yours, and that you, Lord, would strengthen him for the journey that is ahead. We thank you for what we've been able to see in his ministry and in his life, in him being here at Faith during this journey and this stint, Lord, of his ministry. Lord, I pray that he would continue growing, that he would continue learning, and that he would continue, Lord, in the path that you have for him. We pray that you would, Lord, make full proof of his ministry. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we, with great humility, lay our hands on this man with a desire to give our blessing and our charge, our experience, the things that we've gone through, the joy but also the hurt that we've experienced, and to encourage him to show them that there are many who still love you and have given themselves to you and have given themselves to serve and surrender to become a slave to the ministry. So specifically, my prayer over him is in the dark days, as seemingly there's always some, and the length of them sometimes is not always our choosing, but I pray over him that you would help him. If there's days of discouragement, if there's days of depression, if there's days of doubt, if there's days of embarrassment, or maybe even times when he doesn't even want to go to church, fill him and comfort him. and send people in his life to speak truth to him. Mm. His wife encouraged him and continued to lift him up in prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to dedicate and ordain Tiago. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, I thank you for Tiago, and I thank you for his sweet wife, Erica, and I thank you for the joy that they've brought our congregation and this family. Lord, they've jumped in, and it's like they're just one of us. It's because they are, because the spirit that they have bonds with our spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit, your spirit, God, the spirit of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for the testimony of this man who had dreams and passions, and he was willing to let go of those to pursue you. And it wasn't so much he just let go, but you replaced those desires with desires for yourself, God, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a man who wants to lead his wife and his children and wants to go into full-time ministry, knowing, God, that there are difficult days ahead, and he knows from the testimony of us and other pastors, the men and women of God in his life, that ministry can be challenging. But you know, Lord, doesn't faze him. He's ready to go. And I pray, God, that you will equip him for everything ahead, and we know you will, God. I just want to thank you personally, God, for the joy and the sincerity and the authenticity that they have and that they've brought. They've jumped in at VBS. They've jumped in with the choir. They've come to discipleship training class. They're pouring into people now. And God, I pray that this childlike faith, this real nature that he has, I pray, God, that through it all, he'll keep that. That your grace will abound in his life, and that, God, you will sustain him through the difficult days. And I pray, God, that while the difficult days come, I pray that those days of joy, those days of excitement, those days of just like, this is worth it all, because he will see and his wife will see the faces of those that they're pouring into, those, Lord, that they're ministering to, and that they will rejoice in that, and they will remember that, and that you will bring hope into their life. I pray, God, they'll see fruit on a continual basis. In those days of darkness, God, just encourage them, because tomorrow the sun will come up. And so, Lord, I just thank you for him and his wife and their daughter and maybe kids-to-be. I just pray, God, you will bless them, that you will encourage them, and that his children will learn to love Christ as he and his wife love Christ, and that the ministries that you will send him into, that they will see this real joy and just the realness that they have, and it'll be contagious, and that people will be saved and lives will be transformed. And we look forward to hearing now a great report of what you're doing in their life, and we want to go ahead and thank you now for what you're going to do in their life. So thank you for Tiago. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his compassion, and thank you, Lord, for the encouragement he's been to us, and we lift these things up in Jesus' name.
Father, you tell us in your word to lay hands on no man suddenly. You remind us that there is a great responsibility that flows from you through the lives of those who have been called. And so, God, tonight we come with heavy hands. Hands that rest on the shoulders of a man who is willing to put himself on the altar of sacrifice on a permanent full-time basis. Who is saying to you tonight publicly in front of this church and around these elders that he is willing and wanting this ministry. And we believe, God, that the call that you have placed on his life is there. We believe you're going to perfect him. We are confident, Lord, that you're going to do a great work in and through him, but this will not be an easy journey, Lord, as we all can attest to that. And so I immediately want to come into the throne room of grace tonight and summon, Lord, a protective unity around him and his marriage. I pray for Erica and Tiago together, that as they approach ministry life, that you would unite their hearts, that they would protect their marriage, they would protect, Lord, the beauty and the sacredness of being able to serve together in ministry. Help them, Lord, when the days are long and the journey is difficult and the criticism is thick, please, Lord, help them not to turn on each other, but to turn toward you. God, I uplift them tonight. I pray for Isabella. I ask that as she is now a part of this family and she will be on this ministry journey, that, Lord, the pressure of the fishbowl life, of a ministry life, Lord, it's not easy. But you've called them to this, and so help them as they navigate the choppy waters to keep their eyes on you. I ask for Tiago, that God, as he will lead men and women and young men and women, that he would have a sense of holiness in his life, that there would be a pursuit of you daily, that there would be a moment by moment remembering that without you, Lord, he cannot do this. So keep him humble and keep him holy. Keep him honest, God. I pray for the men and women whose lives he's going to influence through the preaching of your word, that you would empower him and equip him and strengthen him to communicate the gospel in such a way to, as Lord, your word says, convince even the gainsayers. Strengthen those men and women who are around him. May they see the undeniable touch of you, Jesus, on his life. Holy Spirit, I pray that in his most inner man, he will be submitted to you. He will be surrendered to you. God, give him wisdom in the days ahead, in the journey that is to be his, in the life of this ministry. We set him apart now tonight. Lord, he's your man. He's your man. You've called him. It's time for him now to go forward and fulfill the call. Give him, as you gave Joshua, courage, strength, honor, grace, dignity, wisdom, understanding. Oh, Father, tonight we thank you. We praise you. Lord, Jesus, you are the ultimate example. You are the model of ministry. Help Tiago to yoke up to you and to plow to the glory of God. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. At this time, I want to have you come over to the platform. We have two things, actually three things we want to give you. First of all, there's a Bible here. I don't know how to read Portuguese, but I know this is a Bible. And I know this was the Bible that you wanted because your wife told us. So we got this Bible especially ordered in for you. So this is what we would lovingly call in ministry circles your ordination Bible. So I'm going to present this to you. In addition to that, I also have here in front of me your certificate of ordination that we are about to sign. It looks like this. I don't know if you can all see that, but this is what it looks like. It says, this is to certify that Tiago, has his last name, and I'm not going to butcher it, was solemnly ordained and set apart for the work of Christian ministry at Faith Baptist Church on the 17th day of March 2019 on the authority of the Word of God and elders as a public recognition and confirmation of his divine call to the work after satisfactory testimony had been received as to his moral character, spiritual devotion, ministerial experience, and also after proof had been given of his ability and equipment for the work and instruction and leadership of the Church of God. Sign this day, and there are four pastors who are now going to sign this. So I will go last. Micah, do you always have a pen. He has a pen. Erica, would you just make your way up here for a second? Can I embarrass you for just a split second? All right. I'm not even going to make you come on the platform. All right. I'm just going to meet you halfway. Erica, you are much a part of this tonight as he is. There's no way for us to ordain you. The Bible kind of talks about that. But this guy's not going to get far without you. And we're thankful for you. Ministry is long and hard. And I'm grateful that you were going to stand with him. You were going to support him. We want you to know we love you. If you ever need anything, let us know. We want to give this to you. We're so thankful for you and your ministry. God bless you, and congratulations on your little girl. We love you.
Thank you.
Tiago, on behalf of Faith Baptist Church, the elders here, the pastors. I like that term, elder. Makes you feel old. It's better than bishop, guys, all right? We want to present this to you tonight, your ordination certificate signed by myself, Pastor Chad, Pastor Micah, and Pastor Denver Ayers. Tiago, God bless you. Congratulations. Welcome to ministry. You're welcome. I love you. I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm proud of you. Is there anything you want to say?
It's just...
Hold on, we'll get you a mic. Let me take this blanket off you.
So a little before Philippians 1:6, it's just an introduction of Paul, of how much he loves and how much he cherishes for being there, writing to his beloved church. And brothers and sisters from Faith Baptist Church, you are them for us. Okay, 2 years and a little bit over 2 years ago, we came here. You were in a place where we could be challenged, nourished, grow in our faith, be serving, because we don't know if tomorrow the Lord is going to come. I want him to come tomorrow. But if he comes tomorrow, I can tell for sure, with no doubt in my mind, that in this church, I was pointed to him. Mm. I was led towards him. And I was loved by his people as if we were one, because we are one. And we love you. And we are not going, okay? You guys, we are all going there to Brazil, okay? So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.